Well, good afternoon. I'm walking the dog. Sometimes I wonder who's walking who. It's Auckland. It's a Monday morning, Monday lunchtime actually. Overcast, bit of rain here and there, but chilly, winter's day. Weather's off and on. Sometimes it's cool, sometimes it's warm. More often than not, it's slightly unpredictable, but very bearable, and we all look forward to spring. Spotted gardening, all the rest of that sort of stuff, seems to make sense to most people. You see the colours of spring, things start growing, sort of a rejuvenation of what's been dormant, but there's also a beauty, a lovely beauty to winter. It also is a great time to put up clothes and pick them. When it's really hot, you've got t-shirts and shorts and all the rest of that sort of stuff. And definitely for the young and for the old, it's a certain type of uniform which you go to. Middle-aged people, I don't know what they go to. Come to think of it, today during winter, you look at jackets. Look at scarves, look at all these wonderful things that have been made for hundreds of years and have been made for people in bloody cold climates, much colder than what I'm going through right now. So, you look at why do we buy clothes? Obviously, we buy them for fashion and we buy them for protection, warmth. In hot countries, not so much warmth, but certainly nudity. Not an expression that most societies welcome. There are laws about running around buck naked in different countries. So, as a means of covering up, we all tend to wear clothes. It's amazing. If you've been out the wop-wops in different countries, or even seen videos of people out way out in the middle of Noseville, they'll be wearing the most outrageous messaging on a t-shirt. Because it's been given to them by one of their relatives or whatever. And some of those t-shirts, they have the most outrageous stuff written on them. And, the people are quite unaware what those messages actually are and what they mean. However, if you look at clothes, do people make money from clothes? Yes, they do. Do big corporations make money from clothes? Well, I think they do, but... When I say I think they do, is that I buy clothes for a variety of reasons, and every so often I think, shit, I wouldn't mind buying that, because it's a branded message coming to me saying this is worth it, this is expensive. I remember years ago, I bought a pair of sunglasses, bloody expensive. They were about $400, something like that. And I had them for a while. We must have had them for a year or a couple of years, and the lenses, for want of a better term, the lenses started to spider web. They started to sort of have these weird sort of web-like things across them, and so I took them back to the shop I bought them from, and they said, oh, we can't do much about that, go to this other place. So I went to this other place, who was allegedly the representative of the distributor. And they said to me, have you been wearing these on your head? And I said, yeah, well, sometimes I put them on my head. I'm looking through them, and then I sort of lift them up and put them on my hair while I'm not using them, and I do other things. And they said, well, there's a problem. The oils from your hair have basically wrecked the lenses. We'll give you some new lenses for $120. I said, well, no one told me about the oils of my hair poison. So I hummed and hawed and decided not to buy them at all. I've still got those Oakleys sitting in my drawer somewhere. I bought many pair of sunglasses and been given many pairs of sunglasses since then. But it left a bitter taste. Because they were so bloody expensive for a start. And I was disappointed that the reason given didn't sit well with me. However, that's a lesson I've learnt. I've learnt that if I buy glasses like that at a price like that, I've got to be prepared to, pay more, because I'm not going to last forever, particularly if I do something which is quite normal and wasn't just placing them on my head, but I'm not actually wearing them. It all stems from many years ago. I had a wonderful pair of sunglasses, Vornay, I think they were, I don't know how to pronounce it. And I'd use them in the sea. I was doing a lot of diving in that at the time. I'd use them on a boat, and where I was particularly glaringly, sunny on a regular basis. And some friends of mine would have this game where you'd be out somewhere and one or the other would pinch your sunglasses, and they'd wear them for about a week or two till someone else pinched them, and so they would evolve. These glasses, they did the trick forever, it would seem. They were brown, they weren't reflectos, which I kind of dig them from time to time. They're just a damn good pair of sunglasses. Of course, they're expensive as hell now, because you've got to buy them from expensive places. But I've had other ones. So the thing is that when you buy something that's expensive, you don't expect that you'll have to buy more lenses because they're going to wear. You don't expect that at that price, that's just the beginning. You might have to spend more. And it doesn't matter how much they cost. They might cost you a handful of dollars to make. The thing is that they have a guarantee of sorts, but that guarantee doesn't last more than a year in most cases, and certainly doesn't cover the webbing of the lenses. And I think you probably buy them from an overseas site for $50, $60, but how would you know? How would you know what lenses to buy? Anyway, when I look at clothes and accessories, as the sunglasses obviously would be described as, I soon realized that even someone like myself would fall in delight at purchasing outrageously expensive accessories. And I did so, admittedly, it was some years ago, but I did enjoy those sunglasses. I liked them a lot. And I wore them quite often. So often, in fact, that I obviously didn't realize when I was wearing them and how often I wore them and where they went. Come on. Here we are, just talking to a little wee dog here. So I look at clothes now and I say, well, I'm going to buy clothes that may or may not fit me, may or may not look any good, but certainly serve a purpose. Some clothes I don't want to buy. Remember when I was young, the mere thought of getting handkerchiefs or socks for a Christmas present was, deflating. But sometimes that's what you got, or sometimes some people had them. So when you look at t-shirts and clothes, shirts, I spent some money and had very, very wonderful gifts from family in particular. Lovely shirts, which are quite expensive, and you wear them every so often, and they're really good quality. So I'm thinking, what would it take to make a really, really good shirt here in New Zealand? Or a really good t-shirt? Well, a t-shirt, print on demand, probably all about what goes on the t-shirt. But for a shirt, say for instance you made a shirt that was made in New Zealand, assembled in New Zealand, made it and crafted in this one, it would be probably pretty expensive. Because you have to, you know, buy the material, with someone to sew it, in different sizes, and it's really expensive to do so because you've got to pay somebody at least a living wage and pay for their skill, etc. So the thing about buying a shirt or making a shirt in New Zealand is that you're going to be up for an upfront cost of X amount of dollars to get the shirt made, and you've got the design of the shirt. So I'm looking at that. I'm thinking, you know, how could I get these shirts made? And how much would it cost me? And obviously you have to look at the target market. Target market isn't everybody. Target market is someone I have to do some research into. But the obvious one is to do print on demand and associate it with something, a brand or a name of some kind or a feeling, and probably getting a shop account somewhere. You could probably do print on demand. So I'm kind of looking at that as a, not so much a side hustle, but something that's interesting to me. And if I'm looking at a shirt, well, what would the shirt be? Why would I pay a lot of money for a shirt? I mean, it can't be a white shirt. It could be, but I don't think it would be. It has to have a design of some sort on it that gave the wearer a bloody good feeling. That could be New Zealand, about New Zealand. It could be about things to do in New Zealand, or it could be something about music or whatever. So I'd have to think of that. Is it worth it? I don't know. I know it's worth it, but I'll look at that. And even if I get one just made for me, I think it's a good exercise. It's a good exercise in assembling or creating a shirt, New Zealand made shirt with New Zealand buttons, New Zealand label. Yeah, it could be quite good. See the way I'm thinking. I'm thinking because I spent $400 on a pair of sunglasses. Would I spend a quarter of that on a shirt? Yeah, probably. Would I think that there's a market? That's what I don't know. I have to find the target market, find how much it costs, how much it costs to ship. Is it local? Is it overseas? Limited edition, all that sort of thing. That's quite fun. Good fun. I'm not relying on it, see, that's why it's fun. So when I look at clothes, I say, well, most people seem to get their clothes, most companies get their clothes made in China or Vietnam or Bangladesh. I don't think, maybe they made them in Malaysia, I don't think it anymore, but Indonesia, those places. Probably the local wages are attractive enough. And if things all, you know, above board and fair dinkum, then that's probably the way people are. They make toys, they make everything. Now, the world economy is changing. Supply chains in particular slow. The pandemic's certainly caused mayhem and supply chains issues. So how would it be? How would it be as a business model? If you had something that was comparatively expensive, therefore appeals to a very small amount of the population, but was home built. Now that's a, say, look at this. Would you buy a home built car? Would you buy a hand-built car from New Zealand? I mean, McLaren's not making it, it's made in England. But the original McLaren garage, I'm sure, was here. This one in Remuera, if I remember rightly, some years ago. But you look at things like handcrafted one-offs. Okay, that's cool. But can you make, or can you afford to make, yeah, mate, very good, mate. Can you afford to make something like a shirt that can be sold overseas and you have to pay for the packing, shipping, etc.? My answer to that would be start off in New Zealand or go full hog, charge some outrageous price, which gives you 40, 50% markup, or what do I don't? I don't know what it is. As I said, it's more of a hobby at this stage. But what say I do that? What say I actually get this done? I get a shirt made to my liking. Yes, I know there's a market of one, that's me. And I'm going to pay $160 for that. Well, why would I spend $160 on a friggin' shirt? It'd have to be a pretty cool shirt. However, I've seen shirts that are expensive. They're expensive because they have a brand on it. So, quick close. It is very obvious that branding is so super important. Also, because they're all made in those countries mentioned, you expect them to be of a certain price. If they're not made in those countries, do you expect them to be more expensive? Would you wear it? Is there an item or is there an element of snobbery in it? I think there is. I think there is an element of, you know, snobbery. But, you know, who actually is getting the benefit of working here on that? So I think craftsmanship is uppermost. Is it a really, really good shirt? Has it been really, really made well? Is it a double stitch, or was it stitched with really good cotton, so it doesn't fall apart easy? All those things. Who's it made for? I bought woolen jerseys in various parts of New Zealand. Quite expensive. And if I don't buy jerseys with the elbows reinforced, generally what happens is they start wearing out. But you look at the jerseys of old, a lot of them had reinforced elbows. Going back to shirts had detachable collars many, many moons ago. But I've spent, you know, quite a lot of good money on good New Zealand woolen jerseys. And I felt happy. I felt very, very happy about owning them. Because they were expensive. I couldn't buy them anywhere. Probably could buy them online. But I'd gone to the shops themselves, normally in the middle of Nowheresville off a main highway somewhere. They fit, you buy them, you buy it, and you feel, hey, I've bought something pretty good. So bottom line is, online, it's up to great photos, it's up to marketing, it's up to really establishing who's your target market. I mean, am I that guy that's going to buy another pair of sunglasses for $400? Hell no. No, because, you know, I'm not happy. But the lens is going weird like that. But, you know, I spent $400. And while I had them, well, I used them, rather, because I still had them, I enjoyed them. They were good. They were sturdy. They popped out sometimes. And I'd take them out of the shop, they'd pop them back in again. But they were good. Were they worth 400? No, possibly not. But that was the price. And I was prepared to pay for it. And I paid for it. At this time, no, I wouldn't pay that amount of money for a pair of robust sunglasses, simply because I have other things I have to pay for. And I don't have that type of disposable income on a pair of sunglasses. So, what I'm talking about now is looking at clothes industry or the clothes industry. Can you make a niche market product, clothes-wise? that satisfies the needs and urges of those with the right type of money, the right targeted customer base. Can you make enough of them to turn it into a business, and can you make it so so good that people essentially click, they buy them, they like it, they buy another, you have limited editions or whatever you have, people say, shit, this is effing good, I need more. Yeah, can you? I think you probably could. What those items are, I don't know. Face masks, okay, that's probably done the dash. Beanies, yeah, I seen some good beanies the other day, $3. They were branding the company. They weren't a beanie manufacturer, but those balaclavas, caps, comforters, whatever you want to call them, the beanies, they're pretty good, but, you know, a mixture of nylon or a mixture of wool, microfiber or whatever, I don't know. Nylon is a good name. Nylon is a collaboration between England and America, the material. NY stands for New York, and LON stands for London. So, nylon. Interesting thing. We'll have a look at that one day. The international sort of combined across the both sides of the Atlantic. And we'll look at different types of material. I don't normally talk about clothes. However, I'm fascinated by the fact that everybody gets stuff made overseas. But it's late 2022 now. Is that the case? Would you now not make clothes in your own country? Service your own people, or niche markets of your own people? Would people be prepared in these economic times to spend a lot of money on a shirt? Well, maybe a family would, as a gift for their a certain person on a special day, but that's where market research comes in. Who's your target market? Can't be everyone, and you have to know, and then what were they prepared to pay? But it's fun, so I'm going to enjoy delving into something which I don't know. That is the clothes industry. It's a huge industry, huge. We're wearing clothes. I'm wearing a pair of running shoes, $100-something. The soles are already falling apart. I need to re-glue them. Nothing lasts forever. And things made today don't seem to last as long as they used to. Maybe that's just my imagination. Maybe it's a fallacy. I don't think so. I think that things made years past were of a better quality, and people didn't throw away things as much as they tend to nowadays. So therefore, people expected them to last longer, and they were made sturdier. Chocolate is a great example. Well, we don't wear it normally, but I remember Pinky bars when I was young. They were sort of harder. They come with a piece of cardboard. They don't now. They're soft, normally gooey, not very nice at all. And whatever the price is, you feel disappointed. The same as the flake bar. Flake bars were, you know, quite rigid. They were like a piece of wood in some cases, but very nice, tasty. Nowadays, it's just totally flaky. They just fall apart. Cough, and the bloody thing will fall apart. So everything's changed. So if you had in the market something that was high quality, you wanted a good dollar for it, would you get it? That's what market research is all about. Even though I'm talking about various things today, I'm not talking about stuff that I know well. I'm not talking about stuff that I know well. What I'm talking about is things that I'm interested in because of a pair of bloody sunglasses. So watch your space. We'll talk about what we need to talk about later on in another podcast, and I must apologize for not being very consistent. Been so busy lately, so many things happening due to various reasons, which I won't get into, but maybe later on. But There are stories to be told. There's money to be made. Businesses to be, to be started up or continued. And opportunities that are there. Oh, the little dog is very happy. Yes, she is. There's opportunities to be taken up with the clothes. Who knows? Next time we talk, next time we listen, I might just have some good stories about clothes. How I accidentally became a shirt maker of some renown. Hello.
Hello. Is Ivy there?
Yes, she's just there. I'm just going to knock on the door.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you.